everybody, and welcome to Rewatchable, episode 107, where we'll be talking about Freaks and Geeks, episode 17, The Little Things, and episode 18, Discos and Dragons. This is the last two episodes of the series, and I'm Brittany, and today we are joined by Ariana and Kristen. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Can't believe it's the last one. I was just saying, episode 107, it's only been like seven episodes of Freaks and Geeks, and okay, we're done.
So I know, right? Sad.
So, before we get into things, just a reminder, if you want to reach us about anything about Freaks and Geeks, or Avatar, or Veronica Mars, or Pushing Daisies, or Firefly, couldn't remember that one, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, talk to us on Twitter @RE_watchable. This post will be available on hypable.com as well as all of our other posts. And we have a Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And we're almost at 100 followers, which is kind of exciting.
Woohoo! That's really exciting.
Wait, on Tumblr?
On Tumblr.
That's so exciting.
I know, because I get all the emails and I have like 3 followers on my personal Tumblr because I don't use it. So right, every time I get an email that's like, you have a new follower, I'm like, yes. So popular. All right. So let's start with the penultimate episode of the series, which was actually the last episode to be produced and cut and filmed. They did episode 18 first. So this is actually, in filming order, the last episode of the series. Episode 17, entitled The Little Things. And the synopsis is as follows. In this episode, Lindsay is that prototypical, bilchy, self-righteous, white girl liberal until her hippie counselor explains that people like her are the reason nothing ever gets done in Congress and that she should make herself open to bipartisan discourse because that's what people with brains do. And no, I'm not bitter about the inability of politicians to work together. I just think George Washington was right about how we fucked ourselves over. Meanwhile, Sam is dating Cindy, and she is the worst ever, so he breaks up with her because she smells like farts. JK, it's because she's really boring and hates grandmothers. Also, Ken finds out that his girlfriend is intersex, and considering he's a 1980s teenage boy, he takes it surprisingly well, and decides that he loves her, even if it means he's a little bit gay. Note from 2015, Ken, it does not mean you're gay, but it does mean you're kind of a badass. So, we have a lot going on in this episode. A lot of Ken stuff, a lot of Cindy sucks stuff, and it kind of started a little bit of a brawl on our Twitter. And by brawl, I mean like a total of 7 tweets, which is kind of a big deal for us over at @RE_watchable. So we'll get to Cindy in a minute. But first, let's talk about Lindsay and Mr. Rosso. So George H.W. Bush is coming to give a talk at their school, and at the time, he's the vice president. And Mr. Rosso is like, oh, you get to ask the first question. How awesome is that? And he's all jazzed, and Lindsay, like, tries to come up with all these questions, and they're eventually all rejected, and she has to ask what his favorite place to eat is in the state of Michigan. And she kind of gets all, like, cranky about it, and I know Ariana is not feeling Lindsay, so why don't you take it away and give us your thoughts on Lindsay in this episode? And
I don't know, like, Lindsay used to be so great. Well, she wasn't so great, it's just that everyone else, like, sucked so much that she, like, seemed so much better in comparison. But she's just, I cannot handle her, like, holier-than-thou attitude going on right now, where she's just like, I can't, I'm a Democrat, like, calm down, Lindsay. I really can't stand it when people are like that and don't want to, like, participate in a discussion with people who think differently than them. I think that's the only way you solve problems is by having open discussions. But she's just like, no, I'm not going to.
Yeah, and I think that plays into, like, how Lindsay has really changed a lot over the series, because in the beginning she's sort of like, she keeps trying to push herself into these groups, and now she's sort of saying, like, no, this is who I am, this is where I belong, not questioning things and trying to, like, fit into a different this is like the first time she's taking a stand, and it comes off as, like, this very, like, bitchy, uninformed way. So yeah. When she tries to do it, it doesn't work, and when she doesn't try to do it, it's even more of a disaster.
And I feel so bad for Mr. Rosso because he keeps trying to do all of these really nice things for her, and she never is grateful for it. Like, yeah. Ever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's trying, he can tell that you're a very smart girl who has a very bright future if she only, you know, tries. And he keeps trying to be really cool and help her, and she just, yeah. Every time, she just kind of looks at him like he's crazy, and it's not cool.
Yeah, and Mr. Rosso's the best character of the entire series. We'll talk about our favorite characters in a little bit, but I loved his, like, his hippie days and, like, what he used to do, and he's like, and all of that got me nowhere, and I love when he gets, like, frustrated finally, because you see, like, we've seen a lot of different sides of all of these characters, and I thought it was, like, a nice little moment where we got a little bit of the other side of Mr. Rosso, like, where he was just, like, fed up, he couldn't get in his car, and, like, that's what set him off, and he was just angry, and was not happy that Lindsay wasn't doing anything that she wanted to do, and the people weren't helping her, like, have a nice, good discussion that she finally agreed to get involved with, and everything is, like, conspiring against him no matter what he does. Although no one is making him cut his hair, which is nice. So good for them.
Yeah, I like that he was, like, a real liberal, like, putting his money where his mouth is, you know? He was, mm-hmm. like, a hippie out there actually taking action. And what's frustrating about Lindsay is that she's, like, all talk, but she's lazy. She doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I agree. Speaking of lazy and not wanting to do anything or watch a great movie like The Jerk, we get Cindy finally all to, like, she's all Sam's, and he's realizing that she's not all she's cracked up to be. And his friends, let's start with his friends. So Bill and Neil, their opinions of Sam's relationship are my personal favorite. When he's like, all she wants to do is just make out, and she's really boring. And Neil is so funny, I think, in this scene. He's like, he cannot figure out why Sam would give that up.
Like, what? That's did you all guess? Neil wants.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
That's all Neil wants out of a girlfriend, is someone who wants to make out with him all the time. Like, that's his list of, you know, desired characteristics. Sam, on the other hand, just wants, like, a friend, you know? She's a girl, but he wants to also be friends with her, and I think that's cool, but yeah, like, poor Neil. God, Neil.
I mean, I think that he likes the idea of wanting to kiss her, but he still hasn't, like, fully gone through puberty, so, like, he's not getting so much pleasure out of, especially, she's kind of, like, gross at making out.
She's a little,
She's a little too,
I feel like she's too horny. A little too full of herself, too. Like, she thinks, she knows that she, like, what status she is in his life. Like, that she's definitely above him, or believes she is. I don't think she is. I loved the moment where Sam, I couldn't think of his name for a minute, Sam gets the necklace from his mother, and that's when you can really tell how Sam wants to feel about a girl. Like, did you guys get that at all? Like, see, he's sitting on the bed, he's all excited that his mom is giving this to him, and she's happy that he, like, has someone that he's interested in.
I was so mad at the mom. I was like, how can you give away your heirloom to this little, like, floozy that...
I was happy that Cindy gave it back, though. I was I forgot if she took it or, like, what happened with it. So when she, like, threw it back at him, I was like, oh, good, he didn't lose it.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised she didn't give that to Lindsay.
Yeah.
Like, you don't typically hand your family heirlooms down to your little son's first girlfriend. It's not usually a thing that happens.
Yeah, I wouldn't be tossing the word heirloom around like that. If it was just like, oh, this is a necklace, like, you know, that happens, I happen to save, like, that would be one thing, but, like, heirloom is like, oh, that's a lot of value.
Right, yeah.
And she's such a jerk, she didn't even like it, she thought it was ugly.
I know.
Yeah.
At least, like, even if you think it's ugly, put it on that day. Mm-hmm. You just have to wear that one day, then never wear it again. Or just wear it in front of him, or, like, in front of his mom. Calm down. Like, why do you even care if you look that pretty? You already have a boyfriend.
Okay, so consensus. Do we like, I know how Adriana feels, but Kristen, do you like Cindy?
Okay. I have to say, when we first met Cindy, she seemed like a genuinely nice, sweet girl. Like, she was friends with Sam, she talked to Sam, like, she was a cool chick. This latter half of the season, like, after she got her first, like, jock boyfriend, I just want to slap her. Like, she needs a big dose of reality because she's not all of that. And treating people like Sam the way she did makes me really, really pissed off. I love Sam, and I think he's such a sweetheart, and he tries so hard to do right by people that to have this chick who has always been nice to him and who he thought, you know, was one way, kind of do a 180 and turn into, like, a creepy, scary cheerleader bitchy chick just drives me nuts. And so I'm kind of sad that that's where her character went, but it's realistic. I mean, there are some characters like that, some people like that in the real world, so.
I guess, I feel bad for hating her so much because I realize she's a child and she's no worse than 90% of girls her age. And, I mean, she's no worse, I'm sure, no. But, like, I don't, it's just really frustrating. I think she represents a lot of the things that we hate about people. Like, she's just a really fake person. But she wants to be nice, but she's not. I don't know. See, I sound like Natalie now, ranting about the podcast.
Well, and she also feels entitled. Like, she feels like she earned things, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah, but she thinks she earned them just because she's pretty.
Yeah, I know. That's even worse.
Yeah, and the moment that they do break up, I think is a great moment for Sam because, like, Cindy's sort of like, well, you were, like, this little, like, box I needed to check off. Like, you were really nice and stuff, and that's what I think that I needed, like, to, you know, to, like, complete my image. I needed to have the nice guy. And so he realizes that already, and when he goes to break up with her, he, like, finally, like, he has that one line where he's just like, are you having any fun? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, there you go. And I just loved that moment. I got ahead of myself with favorite lines, but that's okay.
I wonder what kind of guy Cindy needs.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. Obviously, the jock guy. That was my favorite part. Like, her ex is so different from Sam. But neither one of them can stand her.
Yeah, that scene at the lunch table was so uncomfortable. Like, Sam was, like, almost, like, trying to, like, disappear into his lunch bag.
I know. He's so embarrassed. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're my girlfriend.
So speaking of boyfriends and girlfriends, let's move to Ken, who has a very open and honest conversation with his girlfriend this week, wherein he finds out that she was born intersex and her parents chose to raise her as a girl, which, as she says, was good because that's who she is and she knows nothing different. But it's still, like, a huge part of her life and her identity. And Ken kind of, like, spirals into this, like, personal discovery zone where he's always been this quiet type of, like, thinking guy, but he's finally, like, starting to, like, talk and ask people's opinions about things, which I thought was a huge thing for him. And we find out a little bit more about his home life, how he was raised by a nanny and not so much his parents. So what did you guys think of this whole storyline? Like, did it catch you off guard or anything? Or was it, like...
I definitely didn't see it coming, but it's, like, refreshing because that's not a storyline you see all the time and definitely not handled like this. Like, it was handled really well, and I could really see that if you were a teenage boy in the 80s or whenever, if your girlfriend told you this, it would make you, first of all, I'm sure it would freak you out a little bit because it's not something you think about. Like, you just don't, you don't think that that's something that happens in the world, especially as a kid. It's just not something you realize until it becomes personal. And, like, when you know someone like that, that has, you know, gone through this, then you know what it is. Like, I loved watching Ken kind of stumble through his journey of definitely a freaked out boy to, am I gay? What does this mean? To, oh, I know exactly what this means. Like, I loved watching him, like, go through what this meant for him, too.
I knew that this one was coming up, I think, because I think I read an article where they mentioned, oh, yeah, Ken dates someone who's intersex. But I didn't expect it to kind of go this way and how he handled it so well. Or not, I mean, I don't know if he didn't really handle it well, but, like, he was trying to handle it well, which is more than you can say for most teenage boys. So,
yeah.
It was nice to see how sincere, like, how he seems to have the most honest, best relationship out of anybody on this show, like with his girlfriend. Like, they seem to really care about each other, and they talk honestly, and they don't fight over stupid things.
Yeah, their one major, like, disagreement was over something that was rather large that was understandable. And I think for Ken doing this in the 80s, where, like, he didn't have, he couldn't, like, just go home and, like, or look on his iPhone and be like, what is intersex? Like, how is this handled? I think he did a good job of, like, he consulted his friends, and when he knew that his friends weren't going to give him the answer that he thought he needed, he went to Mr. Rosso. But the reason, his reasoning behind going to Mr. Rosso was because he thought Mr. Rosso was gay. And he's like, I'm not gay. I thought that was really funny. But then he went back and, like, his friends, I thought that they handled it okay, better than they, like, they could have written them to
handle him for it.
Exactly. Like, they could have written them to be horrible people, and it would have been fitting if they were, and I think it was more fitting that they weren't, and I'm glad that they chose not to go that route.
Because so often, like, intersex people are used as the butt of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that in 2000, they didn't do that. Because that was a while ago now, and they were still doing that. So it was very ahead of their time.
Yeah, I agree. So good for you, Ken.
Stay cool, Ken. Stay cool.
Also, kudos for that scene where they, like, make out in the hallway and she has her tuba on, because that looked a little complicated. Like, there could have been a lot that went wrong there. Okay, so the final part of this episode is that Lindsay does get to ask a question at the assembly, but first, Mr. Rosso isn't allowed in the assembly, because his past has caught up to him, and he's, like, been red flagged. So he gets sent, he has to be, like, quarantined to his office, and Ben Stiller is the Secret Service agent who handles him. And they're sitting in his office, and they kind of have, like, this heart-to-heart, like, do you really like your job? And he's like, I'm not living up to my potential. He's like, when does anyone ever try to assassinate a vice president? And I thought that that whole scene was great. And there's this, I wrote an article this week about the cancellation of Freaks and Geeks. And in it, I put a YouTube video of this scene, because there's an uncut 8-minute version of just Ben Stiller and Mr. Rosso, like, talking. Like, they just, like, ad-libbed the whole scene, and it's 8 minutes long, and it is fantastic. So I recommend everybody go and watch it, because it's only reduced down to, like, you know, 25, 30 seconds in the episode. But yeah, what did you guys think about that whole thing where Lindsay decides to ask that question? Was that, like, the final straw for Lindsay, or?
Well, I liked that about Lindsay, that she was actually doing, like, she's being proactive in a way. Mm-hmm. And I much prefer Lindsay when she's doing something than when she's just complaining.
Yeah, and she is still the old Lindsay, because she wore her dad's shirt. Like,
yeah,
that was cute.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought she was going to ask, like, why would you red flag a high school counselor who, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, I thought she was going to ask something about why Mr. Rosso had been pulled away. I knew she wasn't going to ask the question they asked her to do. But no, I just love the look on Mr. Rosso's face. Like, when she, you know, she asks her question and he hears it over the intercom and he just kind of smiles. It's like, oh, it's like, yay, all of his hard work does fail. Oh, I know.
It's very professional. At first I like panicked because I didn't remember. I was like, oh my God, did he cut this? And I do not remember him cutting it. And then I remember he braided it. I was like, okay, good.
Good. Can't cut the locks. You just can't.
And which was weird, because I would, like, remember the next episode, like, him having long hair, and I was still, like, nervous for a second when I was rewatching this. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about with this episode? Did I miss anything?
No, I think we're good.
No? All right. So let's go on to our favorite lines. Kristen, why don't you go first?
Mine is from Bill, because I love Bill. And it's from the beginning of the episode when they're playing Mousetrap, and he goes, don't worry, Sam, it's just a game. I'm really good at Mousetrap. You're really good at Kerplunk. just the way he says it. He is so concerned about Sam's feelings being hurt because he was terrible at Mousetrap that Bill was like, it's okay. Trust me. You're better at other things. Like, I just...
Yeah, that was, I loved that whole scene because Neil is so focused on one thing. Sam just doesn't want to be there or talk about Cindy. And then Bill's just like so out of it as he always is.
And playing Mousetrap. Yeah. That's why I love Bill.
Adiana, what was your favorite scene or line?
My favorite line was when they're sitting at that lunchroom table and then Cindy's trying to pick a fight between her current boyfriend and her ex-boyfriend. Her ex-boyfriend is just like, will you shut up? I like Sam. Why do you want to see us fight? And I was like, thank you, Cindy's ex-boyfriend, for just saying what, like, we all wish we could say to Cindy. Shut up.
It's like on her, she, like, pulls out, like, her, like, little pocket bucket list, and it's like, have ex-boyfriends fight, and the box is still empty. You can't do it. My favorite line from this episode was one that I talked about earlier when Cindy and Sam are breaking up and she says to him and she's kind of like, oh, I thought you were a nice guy. And he's like, hey, I am nice. I'm just not having any fun. Are you? And I just love that moment with Sam because it's like, he grows up a lot in that one line.
He's just had enough. And I totally understand.
Yeah. Okay. So favorite scenes, Kristen, what was your favorite scene?
It was definitely Ken and Sam in the bathroom when Ken kind of has his epiphany. Like, I love that Sam talking about the horror that is dating Cindy, like, kind of helps Ken realize, well, this isn't really that big a deal, and I'm freaking out over nothing. Like, you know, I need to just be grateful for what I have. Like, you can see the wheels turning in Ken's head, and I love that scene.
Yeah, that was great. And how, like, Sam was so nervous to break up with Cindy that he was making himself sick.
Yeah.
Aw, kid. Adiana, what was yours?
Mine was when the boys had, like, their little sleepover. And then Ken is telling them, you know, like, my girlfriend's intersex. And then he's like, yeah, but I love her. And so they're like, does that make you gay? And he's like, I don't know. Like, he doesn't freak out over it or anything. He's just like, maybe I am gay.
Yeah, that was great. And especially then when he goes to, like, he's very calm about it. He's like, well, yeah. If I am, I am. Like, I'll just go talk to the only other person I think is gay and figure it out, I guess. But, yeah, that whole moment was great. I loved their sleepover, too, because they're just, like, lying there, like, in their regular clothes. I'm like,
it's
boys are so
different.
It's funny
to imagine them, like, having a sleepover. They don't seem like the kind of people who would.
Yeah. So my favorite scene from this episode was just Mr. Rosso counseling Ben Stiller. I love the moment right before the end credits where he's filling out, like, one of those aptitude tests, and he's just like, do I like working with major appliances? I think I do. And he, like, checks the box. And that's just great.
He was very Ben Stiller.
Very, like, Ben Stiller.
He has that, you know, he has a thing about him, and he's exactly that in this episode. And I just laughed. I was like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and it was, I was reading something when I was writing that other article about this episode and how it was so weird that, like, they had, because Ben Stiller was popular when this was on, like, he was in a ton of things, and that they had this, like, bigger guest star in the back end, even though, like, they weren't going to make it. They still finished filming out the series, and they still brought him in to have him on, so it was cool. I like seeing him. But again, watch that video. I'll post it on Twitter or something. It's really good. Okay, and now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the best one of the best opening sequences from this series and the final opening sequence from Freaks and Geeks for episode 18, Discos and Dragons. And the synopsis is, in this episode, Lindsay is whining because she is so smart and she is even more annoying than Vanessa Hudgens in High School Musical when she complains about being good at math. She ends up following the hippies on tour because she is a follower and has no brain of her own, which is why she's still wearing that ugly-ass jacket and leaves her mouth hanging open like Jon Snow, a stamp of stupidity as she follows the flow of the hype. Meanwhile, Nick starts dating Lindsay Kaplan, but nobody cares except Ken because he is a good friend and Disco is dead. Also, Daniel gets stuck in the AV club, and it turns out he is awesome at being a geek. So does Jon Snow, like, do that all the time? Because I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He like never closes his mouth. It's so annoying.
Okay. Yeah, like, no, when true. I saw the photo, I was like, oh no, another Game of Thrones thing that I'm not going to know what it means.
But that's how Lindsay is now. She's like always with her mouth slightly hanging open. You know, there's nothing in her head.
All right, so that kind of brings us right into your first discussion point that you put in the doc, Ariana, which is, I don't even like Lindsay anymore. She's so fake and such a follower. So maybe we should wrap up, start this episode by talking about our final feelings about Lindsay. So, Ariana, you can start, and then we'll go to Kristen.
I used to like Lindsay so much, and like when she beat up those guys who were beating up her brother in the first episode. And now I just, like, I cannot stand her. Really frustrates me how she has so many advantages to all her friends and she doesn't even appreciate or realize them. And like, she's so smart that she got into this thing, and when she gets in, she's like, I didn't even study. Like, she's whining about it. Like, it's so frustrating. And then she like betrays her parents' trust by going on that stupid hippie thing, because I feel like now she's like, well, you know, the freaks, I'm kind of over them. Maybe I'll try, like, the hippies instead. And, like, I'm just really frustrated with her. And
yeah, as far as Lindsay goes, I don't know. It's, I don't even know what to think about Lindsay at this point. Like, I feel like there's been a lot of opportunity for growth for her. And she hasn't really grown, like, a lot. Like, maybe not. I can see if the show had another two seasons where they were taking her. Like, I could see what the goal was for her. But she's not there, and so knowing this is the last episode we're going to get, it's just really frustrating that she makes a decision to, you know, to leave this really great opportunity for her, you know, her academics and all of that, to leave that behind and just run off to go to a bunch of Grateful Dead concerts. Like, yeah, it's fun, and it's your summer vacation, and yeah, you should get to do what you want to do, but, you know, as a junior in high school, you also should be thinking about your future and what you want to do, and she's not a dumb girl, so it doesn't really make sense that she wouldn't want to take an opportunity like the academic summit thing. So, I don't know. I like Lindsay. I don't hate her. I feel like she's been through a lot, especially with the whole grandma thing that we never really got to understand, like, how close she was to her grandma. We know she was, but we never really saw much about that. But she's been through a lot, so I give her that, but she still has a lot of growing to do.
Yeah, I feel very torn on this ending for her. In one respect, I love that she left and, like, pulled this whole thing off and, like, is going to go because she was being, I don't know, a good friend, I guess, to Kim Kelly, because she couldn't get away for the summer. She has that one line where she's like, well, I can't leave, you can leave, like, that's so great for you. And she, like, finds a way to get Kim Kelly out of town for the summer. But on the other hand, Kim Kelly is still going to be stuck there when you can get away and go on to an even better opportunity if you go to that academic summit when you go to college. Like, she can't take, in the end, she's going to not regret this, maybe, but, like, feel bad about what she did and try to make up for it by, like, not studying again or whatever. So also, I think that she blew, like, it. Oh, go ahead.
It's not like her friends are being like, oh, it's so lame, you're smart. Like, all of her friends are like, no, you should really take advantage of how smart you are. Like, you're really, you're hashtag blessed, Lindsay. Like,
yeah, like, she has a good, like yes, support system.
You have a lot of opportunities that we don't have. We act like this because we feel like we're stuck. You're not stuck. And also, it was like, she's like, it's going to be so boring. It was 2 weeks. Summer is 3 months. Like, calm down, Lindsay.
Yeah, and she would have been done by, like, because she goes, like, what, like, literally, like, the day after school ends. So she's just like,
then you can come back and whine and sit around with your friends.
And maybe go to a Dead concert.
Yes, then maybe you can take Kim Kelly on a concert.
Yeah, I didn't understand if it was, like, the whole summer. Like, you know, like a 6-week intensive thing. But you're right. It was only 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, and I love the scene where she finds out about it, and rather than everybody, like, making fun of her or whatever, they all just look really happy for her. Like, Kim Kelly looks over at Nick, and they all just kind of smile, and they're like, you know, congrats, like, that's awesome. Yeah. And she can't seem to get her mind around the fact that this is good news. Like, everybody else is excited for her, but she has no idea that it's, you know, awesome.
Yeah.
She's such a privileged brat, and that's really frustrating.
That was so, rewatching that scene, I was like, oh my gosh, why are you doing this? And especially because, like, Nick, it was the one, like, I mean, Kim Kelly too, but Nick was so excited. He was like, wow, like kind of like, I know her, like, I'm friends with the smart girl. Yeah.
It's like when one of your friends, like, gets famous and you're like, oh my gosh, that's my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh, so frustrating. But on the other end, we have Mr. Rosso, who realizes that his patience has run its course with Daniel. And so Daniel kind of gets in trouble again. He goes to Mr. Rosso, and Mr. Rosso's like, you know what? I'm done being taken advantage of and being nice. Like, I'm not letting you slide on this one. You're going to be a member of the AV club. And I loved that moment because you just, like, we already had the scene beforehand with Sam and his friends sitting in the AV club, and they're, like, cleaning things, and, like, you could tell that they're all miserable. So did you guys have, like, what, AV club wasn't a thing by the time I was in school anymore.
No. Yeah, we didn't have AV club either.
I mean, we had, like, the awesome, DVDs. Like, it, like, those awesome, like, you know, TVs on carts with the
VHS players. Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't need anyone to come and set it up for us.
When you see the TV on a cart in your room, you get really excited.
And that was another thing I loved about this episode, was the fact that, like, you could totally tell the English teacher has just checked out because it is the last week of school. He's like, we're watching a movie!
Romeo and Juliet! Because nobody watches that in high school. Exactly. Like, everybody watches that in high school.
But yeah, so Daniel kind of gets to know the geeks a little bit more than just giving them porn in this episode. And he goes over and plays Dungeons and Dragons with them. What did you guys think about that whole scene? It's one of my favorite moments because when he gets cast as the dwarf, it's just fantastic.
I just love that he actually went. Like,
yeah.
I could see him saying, I'm totally going to go, I'm going to say I'm doing this, and then he just never shows up, or he, you know, stands him up and doesn't care. Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad he went and had fun. Like, that's so cool.
I don't really understand I was trying to understand his motivation for wanting to go. Is it because, I think Daniel, like, secretly likes hanging out with smart people. Like, I think he gets a kick out of it. Like, I think that's why he liked Lindsay in the beginning, and now, I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, what does he really do when he's with Nick and Ken or just with Kim Kelly? Like, they don't really do anything, per se. Like, they'll go places, but it's not like, this is, like, very, like, interactive. And, like, these kids have, like, this camaraderie amongst them that I think he just wanted to feel a part of and not so, like, bleh, like the freaks are.
Well, and we had just seen, I'm trying to remember when all of this went down. I mean, he had to set up the projector in his friend's class, and they all kind of, they didn't razz him, but they didn't really stand up for him either. Like, they just kind of sat back and watched everybody else kind of laugh at him. Mm-hmm. And so I could see why he might have been a little perturbed with his friends. Like, I'm not going to reward that behavior. Instead, these kids asked me to come play a cool game, and I'm going to give it a shot because why not? Like, I feel like Daniel's kind of at that place where he's like, I don't have a reason not to, so I might as well give it a shot.
Yeah, he's kind of got nothing to lose. And then good old Harris is the dungeon master, which I would have it no other way. And definitely. Also, who was that, like, heavier kid that we finally met this episode? I wished he was around for a lot longer.
He's been around.
He was in, like, the gym.
Oh, yeah, he was in the gym. Oh, right.
He's in a lot of episodes.
I kind of skipped all the episodes that I wasn't on, which is probably a bad thing for Freaks and Geeks. So I didn't remember him, but I was happy to see him in this episode.
Yeah, I like him. He was always good fun, so yeah. I was happy he was back.
And I love that Daniel wins. I think that's, like, the best part of this. When he's, like, kind of, like, he's, like, hesitant to say that he's, like, about to win. And that the geeks are happy for him. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're like, all right, good job. They, like, give him, like, a round of applause. And he's like, you know, that could have gone either way. They could have been, like, upset that, like, they invited this older kid in, and he came, and he won. And then now they're just like, they ruined his night. Their night. And they didn't. He was, like, accepted, and good job.
And then he asks to come back.
Yeah.
I know.
Which is so cool. Good yay, job. Daniel.
Also, yay, Nick, because those disco moves...
Oh, my God.
...cannot be topped. Nor Nick's, can those silk shirts.
Nick's moves in this episode, oh, my God. I just want Jason Segel to dance in everything ever.
Oh, like, when they... This cold open, when they walk in, and they just yell, disco sucks, and there's, like, crowd parts, and there he is. It's so good.
It is. It was really great, because I did not expect it. Like, I didn't know anything about this episode, so walking in blind, like, I was like, what is happening?
And his hair, like, it looked the almost hair. Like Farrah Fawcett-y. Like, mm-hmm. It had, like, this, like, blowout look to it, which was awesome. But he's dating Lindsay Kaplan, like, pretty hardcore now. So, did we like him and Lindsay, or was it, a rebound type thing? I mean, her name's not Lindsay in this series, but I don't remember her name. Besides her being Lindsay Kaplan.
I don't know. She kind of came out of nowhere. Like, have we met her before? We hadn't, right?
She's been, like, in the background. Like, she's said a couple of things on, like, she's kind of been off to the side. Like, she's had talked to them before and stuff like that. But she's always been around, but not in their, like, immediate, like, friend group or anything.
Okay, because when we first saw her and nobody asked, like, who is this, I assumed that I just had forgotten seeing her once or twice earlier in the series, so that's good to know. Yeah, no, she seems, you know, nice enough. I kind of got a bit of a Cindy vibe from her because she seems to want to make Nick do everything she wants him to do, and it's like, hey, how about you, like, chill a little bit? And, like, I mean, he seems to enjoy the disco, so that's fun, and that's fine. But when girls, like, try and make the guy do everything that they want to do, it always doesn't sit well with me. It never really does.
Yeah, I agree.
I just, like, don't care about her.
Okay, that's fine.
I just, like, I cared so little about this plot line. I mean, I really like Lizzie Kaplan as a human. And I think she's great in everything ever, like Mean Girls and Masters of Sex and lots of things. But she's boring in this.
Okay, that's fair enough. I just wanted to make sure we didn't lose you. yeah, I don't mind her, but I agree with you, Kristen, that she does seem to want Nick to do a lot of things that aren't really involving his friends. Like, she's sort of, like, very possessive, kind of. But I think deep down he does love disco. He just can't admit it to them. So at least she's an outlet for that. I mean, she might not be his forever girl, but...
Well, and it's good to try new things. So it's a bad thing that she wants him to try something, but we didn't really get to see them, like, do anything with his friends, really, besides just eating lunch or whatever. So, it, you know, we don't know a whole lot about her. We got one episode, but that was just kind of the vibe that I got.
Yeah, plus, like, it's, like, his rebound type of girlfriend. Yeah. She's a little more, she's kind of the opposite of Lindsay, in a way. She's, like, into him and, like, wants to do things together, whereas Lindsay Weir was just like, meh, I'm here. Like, what more do you want? type of yeah. deal.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, though, I do think that I like her, even though she's boring. Because I like that she acts like, that she's willing to go all in, you know? She pays attention to him, and she's not being, like, annoying like Lindsay was about it, so.
Yeah, plus I think she's liked him from the sidelines for a little while.
Yeah, and I know he's probably not going to be turned off, like, oh, she's too into me. But I think that that's the kind of person someone like him needs, because he's way too, like, clingy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love when they're practicing their dance in, like, the basement area. It's just, like, all cleared out. Like, it's all empty. That was that was a good scene. So the final moment of this episode is Lindsay goes away, and she rides off into the sunset, and that's what we're about to do with this series. So a few final thoughts, I guess. Ariana wants to know, now that Freaks and Geeks is over, who was our favorite characters? So I'll let you kick it off, Ariana. Who is your favorite character?
Mine is definitely, I think, Vicky, who was that occasionally bitchy, really neurotic, and like a control freak cheerleader. I loved her from the moment when she was like being a total control freak and Cindy was like, she's so bossy. But you know what? She got stuff done. So I appreciated that. And then I even loved when they were playing Spin the Bottle in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kept getting Bill and she like did not want to kiss him. She was like, I just felt like that was really true to life. And then, you know, when she gave him a chance in the broom closet, like, okay, that was him. That was really sweet of her.
Okay. Oh, that's good. And Kristen, who is your favorite character?
Bill is my favorite. Bill will always be my favorite. You know, when we started the series, he didn't really stick out. Like, he just kind of was the tall embodiment of being a geek, like the glasses and the way he dresses. Like, he was, you could tell that's what they were kind of trying to get across through his character. And I didn't really like him all that much, but the second half of the season, he really came into his own. Like, just his little one-liners, and that he's got a lot of snark and wit to him that I just really, really loved. So I think Bill will always be my favorite of the Freaks and Geeks characters.
Have you seen Bill, like, in present-day pictures of him? He's, like, super hot.
Yeah, he's in the one series on... Is
yeah,
it
it's like Stars Silicon Valley, right?
Yeah, it's on HBO, yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, shocked.
Like, what is happening? Like,
wow, you grew up nice, Bill.
I know, as soon as we, like, started doing this, I wasn't paying attention. Like, when I see all the people who are in this show, like, out now, because it's been so far removed from my first watch of this series, I never, like, I don't associate them, but now they're, like, coming, like... Like, they just, like, pop out everywhere. Like, I've been paying more attention to Silicon Valley news just because of Martin Starr. And, like, you know, like, you see Lindsay Kaplan and Masters of Sex stuff. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, they're everywhere. Like, these people all had really good careers.
Yeah, I feel like Martin Starr should give hope to, like, everyone in high school. Like, it does get better, guys.
Well, when I wrote the Where Are They Now article at the very mm-hmm. beginning, I was surprised with how much these people have all done, especially the ones I didn't really recognize. Like, James Franco, Jason Segel, Seth Rogen, duh. Everybody's heard of them. Even Busy Phillips, like, is fairly recognizable now. But, like, the geeks, I didn't recognize, you know, necessarily. But, like, looking at what they've done, like, the guy who plays Sam was on Bones for, I think it's Bones, for, like, ever. And, you know, I was a really major character there, and some of the others have had, like, the mom, Mrs. Weir, has been in everything.
Like, she is all over the place.
She's been, I mean, just most recently was in Gotham and Elementary, but she's been literally everywhere. So it's just, I was really surprised with how successful everybody was that was on the show, but pretty much all of them have gone on to have pretty successful careers, which is cool.
Yeah, and... That leads me to my favorite character, Mr. Rosso, whose best role post-Freaks and Geeks was playing the competitor town troubadour slash market, yes! Like, open market, like, Taylor Dozy competition
person. It is him!
Yeah.
I didn't even put it together till just now. That is amazing.
Yeah. I love him. And I love when he pops back up in Stars Hollow and Taylor's like, oh, you again.
It's a cart kiosk, cart kiosk.
Yeah. He's like, my tables fold. And he's like, but they don't roll.
I love Gilmore Girls. Yes. Everything needs a Gilmore Girls connection. And now we can successfully connect Freaks and Geeks.
Well, we had Matt Zuckery early.
Well, yeah.
Early on.
So a double yeah. connection, which is awesome.
But that's it, guys. That's Freaks and Geeks in a nutshell.
Sad.
It's short. It's sweet. It makes us feel angry a lot. But it's pretty good. I like it anyway. So overall, as a series, did you like it?
It definitely grew on me. When we first started it, I don't think I thought I was going to enjoy it very much, which, surprisingly enough, was the same way I felt about Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of the series, I had grown attached to Bill and Sam and even Lindsay and Kim. And so, yeah, I do think I really enjoy it. And I'll probably give it a rewatch at some point in the next couple of months, like, because it doesn't take very long.
Yeah.
And it's good fun. I'd definitely share it with friends if somebody ever had the interest and wanted to watch. I would definitely share.
Cool. Ariana, did you like it? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
I have, like, mixed feelings.
Okay, that's fair. We have a bunch of articles and things that have been going up in relation to Freaks and Geeks on Hypeable.com. I know Danielle did a post of what you should watch after you watch Freaks and Geeks, if, like, this is your cup of tea, and there's a bunch of shows and movies on there, and we have music posts, and I did a couple of things on, like, you know, what was going on behind the scenes, because if you have heard me on this before, I have a story for every episode of something that was going on in the producer's room or at NBC or something like that. And I think that's why I like this show. So I really like it because I've read everything there is to read about it, because I loved what was going on. Network drama really fascinates me. Especially now, like, that we just went through the upfronts, this was, like, perfect timing for the show to, like, happen, where all shows are being canceled or moved to Hulu or whatever, and this show kind of fell into the gutter of a time where there wasn't a Hulu or a Netflix or something to pick it up when NBC didn't want it anymore. So, poor Freaks and Geeks. Wrong time for what they were trying to do. So, we still have one more thing to do for this episode, because I was ready to wrap it up, but we didn't do our favorite lines or favorite scenes. So, Kristen, what was your favorite line from this final episode?
My favorite line comes from Neil this time, not Bill, sadly enough. And Neil just is like, Sam, he gave you a porno. I wouldn't exactly say you have a meaningful relationship with him. So true. As soon as he said it, I just giggled. I loved the whole Sam Daniel scene back when he gave him the porno, like, it was funny. So the callback was nice, as well as the, like, yeah, you might know who Dan is, but you don't really know Dan.
Awesome. Ariana, what was yours?
Mine was when he was playing Dungeons and Dragons, and he goes, fine, I'll be a dwarf, but my name is Carlos.
That was great, especially after they had just gone around the table, like, saying, like, what their, like, awesome, like, badass Dungeons and Dragons names were, and he's like, it's gonna be Carlos. Mine happens during the meeting between Mr. Rosso, or was this Mr. Rosso? Or was this at dinner? I should have put who said this in here. I think it was at dinner.
I think it was at dinner. I think it was Mr. Weir.
It was Mr. Weir when she was talking about the program. That's right. The academic summit type thing, and he just looks at her and says, are you wacky? And that was just, like, it was one of the last scenes we had with Mr. Weir, and it just sums him up in a nutshell. Like, are you wacky? Like, what is wrong with you?
And, like, I love the way he said it, too. Like, it was really well done.
And then Sam starts cracking up, and he's like, wacky, and he's just like, be quiet.
I do love Mr. Weir. I mean, he's his own special brand of sassy, but I really didn't appreciate him.
So, Kristen, what was your favorite scene from this episode?
Most definitely was Nick's angry dancing at the end. Like, he starts off, like, actually kind of furious because of what just went down with Ken, and he's all incredibly intense about his, like, disco pointing, and then he kind of just gets into it and, like, you know, really grooves. But I love Nick's dancing. So Jason Segel, keep it up. Just keep dancing. It's all good.
And bring back those silk shirts in every role you do, because mm-hmm. they were awesome. Ariana, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was definitely when he's playing Dungeons and Dragons with his friends. With his friends.
Yeah, it's so little cute.
Little nerdy friends.
Yay. Mine was the opening sequence of this, like I talked about before, where they walk in and they're like, disco's dead, or disco sucks, and then this crowd parts, and Nick is there. So that's it. That is rewatchable. Does Freaks and Geeks. So if you want to email us, you can reach us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Talk to us on Twitter, at @re_watchable. This post will be available on hypeable.com. Hit us up on Tumblr, follow us so that I can be really happy about having 100 followers on an account that's not actually mine. And that's rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And give us some iTunes reviews. This week, if you rate us 5 stars, Karen will play Dungeons & Dragons with you, which is one that I think may actually be fulfilled. So you should.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I want to play Dungeons & Dragons with Karen, so I might create a fake iTunes account and log in and give us 5 stars.
I say that's a plan.
Yeah, because I really would like Karen to play Dungeons & Dragons with me. So we have some listener feedback, and how should we do this? We'll just split it up. So, Kristen, why don't you take the first one?
Surely. The first one comes from Renata at Polar Bear Blue with 2 E's, which is awesome. And she says, poor Cindy, she isn't the best, but I still don't see why so much hate.
Ah, this is the start of the Cindy.
And she's the worst.
Okay, so, Ariana, we'll take the second one because it goes back and forth.
Yeah, so then Kimberly Panner at Kimber Power says, Cindy is the worst! Jack Farr, I finally get it. She is so rude and materialistic.
Yes, so we've established that Jack does not like Cindy, and we're finally all on his bandwagon, it seems. So, when I put the result of the informal poll that got 7 responses is that Cindy is indeed the worst. So.
Very scientific, our polls.
Yeah, you're hearing it live here, folks. So our next few, first we have Amanda at Heyo Amanda. Heyo Amanda. I love you, Amanda. And she was replying to Danielle, who was talking about the last episode, and she says, I watched the last episode yesterday, and I think it's my favorite of the entire series, especially the end. Hopefully that wasn't sarcastic, and I don't think it was, because she has a little sad crying emoticon there. So hopefully it was sincere, you know, that she did actually enjoy the series. And liked the ending. I like the ending, too. I like ambiguous endings.
And I liked that she was being an awesome friend to Kim, which is cool.
Yeah, that's really, like, the only redeeming part of it, maybe.
Yeah. So. Like, I loved how happy Kim looked in that last scene, too. So I give her that.
Yeah. Now, the next two are kind of related to where we're going next, after Freaks and Geeks. And we're heading into Korra. So, if you were around for Avatar and you stuck around for Freaks and Geeks, the Korra crew is coming back. I don't know if we're having a wrap-up episode in between. I don't know the schedule.
I know nothing. You should ask Caitlin.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask Caitlin or Karen. And
just do their bidding, basically.
Yeah. So we may have one more wrap-up episode for Freaks and Geeks. If we don't, we'll probably have an introductory episode to Korra. We'll see. We'll let you know on Twitter, Tumblr, wherever you find us, your local convenience store newsstand, if you're into that. But our next two pieces of listener feedback revolve around Avatar and Korra, so if you're done listening for Freaks and Geeks, you can turn us off. So Danny at Cerulean Snidget, who writes to us a lot, says, finished Atla today, phew, and want to hit the comics ASAP. My library has The Search and The Rift, but not The Promise. Do I need to read the comic series in order they were released, or can I read them out of order? And our wonderful Caitlin answered this, and they are written in chronological order, so you do want to read the Avatar comics in order. If you finish the series and there's something you want to pick up, they kind of extend the Avatar story and fill in a couple of things. So read them in order. They're meant to be in order. And they're still coming out, so Avatar is not dead at all. Although he kind of is, and I'm not looking forward to that in Korra.
Yeah, he's
dead. Oh, it's gonna hurt. I'll just finish up the listener feedback. So Zach H. Official says, can't wait for Rewatchable to experience the Korra feels, which we kind of already started feeling, because Aang is dead. And it's gonna be really sad. Oh, man. So we'll let you know what's going on.
More chance for Zutara.
Exactly. I feel like they're both still kicking when it starts, I think. I don't know. I can't confirm or deny that because I really don't know. That's what I get for being a newbie.
I have seen exactly one episode of Korra, and that was last year at Comic-Con because I happened to be in the room.
Uh-huh.
And it was really cool. I knew nothing of what was going on at all. But it was really entertaining.
So. Did they do any bending? Because the bending is awesome.
There was a little bit, yeah. It wasn't, like, chock full, but there was a little bit. And I was sitting next to Mitch, who was very, very excited.
So, you had probably the best person to be sitting next to during that.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good fun, though. And it's fun to be, like, when you don't know anything about that, it was really cool to watch it, like, through his eyes, because he was all excited. And, you know, it's cool. Like, if you don't know anything about something and you have a friend who is, it's really fun to kind of experience it with them. So that was cool.
Yeah, so that's where we're going next, if you want to stick around with us, or, you know, that's going to take a while, though. There's a lot of episodes there. I think there's, I don't know how many there are exactly, but it's, yeah, and they're a little shorter than Avatar seasons, but it's still probably going to take us about the same amount of time as Avatar did, so you have a while to come up with shows. Yeah, and we have some time for you to think of shows that you want to suggest for us to watch. We're always taking suggestions. But that's it for Freaks and Geeks, for us, at least. So we'll leave you here. I'm Brittany.
I'm Kristen.
I'm Mariana.
Bye, guys.
Bye!
Bye!